This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. Great to be with you. We're live in West Palm Beach, having a great time down here at Astros spring training. And we got a lot to get to today, man. We got a lot on the agenda between the combine and Astros yesterday. About as fun as a spring training game in February could be yesterday, whether you were on site or just following it along back in Houston. Great to be with you. Big thanks to Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors for bringing us here. I'm Sean Pendergast. That's Seth Payne. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. That was fun yesterday. You know, it was. I was kind of depressed after Monday when we didn't get to go to a game because Mother Nature screwed us over hard. But yesterday, it couldn't have been better.
It was great.
It was windy. It was breezy to very windy out there at Cacti Park.
You spent more time outside than I did. You were kind of the feet on the street while I was up in the press box.
I did about like three or four total laps of the entire ballpark.
I need to do that today.
Yeah. And, but I mean, it helped out with Cam Smith's second home run.
Yeah.
The wind carried it a little bit.
Yep.
And it was 74 degrees and sunny. It was beautiful out. And we saw a lot of really good things out of some of the new acquisitions. It was cool.
Yeah, we'll overreact to a lot of this stuff here today, like in a good way, in a fun way.
Except for Jake Meyer.
That may not be an overreaction. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But Cam Smith yesterday was the big story, man. He got in the probably about the fifth inning, midway through the game. That was kind of fun for me. I turned to our boss Parker as they were kind of bringing in the younger guys. This is you and I have talked about this leading up to this trip here. Is that this is going to feel very different. Because previously, when we were here 2 years ago, that was a veteran team coming off of a World Series. This is a team that I won't say it's a younger team. It probably does skew younger overall because of some of the guys who've left. But the younger guys that are in this spring training are much more crucial to the near future of this team than the guys who were in camp a couple of years ago on the aggregate. And the fact that you have one in Cam Smith that came in on a trade for one of your core pieces the last few years makes him incredibly interesting. So when they were bringing in Bryce Matthews and Cam Smith, and when Forrest Whitley came in to pitch, and I know Whitley pitched, I know he had a cup of coffee with the big league team last year, but he might be a key part of this bullpen this year, and he had a clean inning yesterday with a couple of strikeouts. But Cam Smith was the big story. First pitch, first swing, like a big boy home run.
Yeah.
The second one, you're right, got caught up in the wind.
Uh-huh.
But the first one, man, first pitch, Oppo Field, and you knew it right off the bat.
Yeah, it was a really impressive display, and he's impressive physically, and anybody watching on TV would have seen that. But just watching him out there at third base, he's a different body type than Alex Bregman in an extreme way.
Yes.
So and him displaying the power, but also you could see his athleticism at third. There was one ball that he dove for that I don't think I don't think most third basemen would have gotten it.
No,
it wasn't like it was
a
That was really exciting, and you can very clearly see too with Bryce Matthews kind of what the scouting report is, that you see the potential, but that he doesn't have the same judgment at the plate yet that you hope that he does at some point. But he will walk. It's just he's got a lot of stuff to figure out still. Cam Smith, I'm trying not to get overly excited and think, oh, yeah, he's going to be there day one. At the very least, even if he does really well, they're going to probably wait until after the, you know, be sure they get this extra service time out of him.
Yeah, and get a little seasoning in the minor. Yeah. It's not going to be two home runs every day for the rest of spring training.
Whatever, hater.
I know. He ain't gotten out yet.
Tired of your hating.
He walked twice in his spring training debut, and he hit two home runs yesterday.
Yeah.
We were doing all the numbers up in the press box. We're like, he's got a 4,000 slugging percentage.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a 1,000 batting average, 1,000 on base. He's the best player in spring training.
It's a fun on-pace day.
Paredes, it's a tremendous on-pace
day. Paredes' first at-bat, he walked, which is good. He showed
selectivity.
Plate discipline that you hear about. Yeah.
What's fun about the pitching in spring training is if somebody has a good outing or an inning, like Forrest Whitley, like, yeah, Forrest, you go. And then if somebody has an outing like Renell Blanco did yesterday, you're like, oh, he's probably working on
that. And Blanco was fine. He just, he just went south for
him. Was he fine?
Him.
You caught a glimpse of him as he was walking.
He was pretty upset. I think he was genuinely upset. Yeah. So that was cool. He's not blowing it off like, yeah, I'm a pro. It's no big deal. He looked genuinely upset as he walked into the bull. Yeah. I was watching Wisniewski warm up, and at the same time, Renell Blanco came in and
to hang out in the bullpen.
Yeah.
After he gave up five hits in an inning and a third,
he didn't look jubilant. No,
no, and he gave up a bomb to Siri.
If
there's one Met I wanted to see Cadillac a home run, it was Jose Siri.
I was happy. I get happy. Jose Siri makes me happy. Jose Siri is my favorite disobedient child.
Yes.
Like, he's always in detention, but you can't help but love him. Even the detention hall monitor loves him.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, Jose, stop messing around, Jose. Oh, you.
Yeah,
He's that kind of personality.
Yeah. He's just so likable. Jake and Chaz, as you alluded to, not great.
Yeah.
0 for 5, 3 strikeouts. That's what's interesting about this.
Between the two of them, yep.
And a couple of them in kind of, I mean, it's a spring training game, but a couple of them kind of big spots.
Yeah.
A lot of guys on base. So that's what's interesting about this spring is like Cam Smith, you look at him, you go, okay, that's cool. He's coming in. He's hitting a couple home runs. He's playing third base. Probably not going to play third base if he were to make the team. So can he make the team and play right field? Like there's a lot of moving parts with this team. With no Arenado trade, and then a subsequent move of Paredes to second base.
Mm-hmm.
Second base is open right now.
Yeah.
You know, because Altuve is going to play left field, it sounds like. So second base is open. None of these outfielders should be, other than Altuve, should be sacred cows. I know Jake is going to get all kinds of shine for his range and his defense and that he's some sort of sidecar that Altuve needs out there to make sure he's not a complete disaster defensively. But Chaz needs to step it up, man, out there in right field.
There's competition in right field. The thing that continues to make me nervous about Altuve playing left field is whenever either Espada or Dana Brown said, hey, it's really good having Jake Myers out there because he's so rangy. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. But he also, I'd like him to hit a baseball
strikes
every now
out
and
a
then.
Lot, yeah.
Can he hit a baseball in 2025?
Not so far.
My goodness.
Not so far. Texans combine yesterday as well. D'Amico, we get Nick Caserio today at the combine, so we'll see. My one prediction about D'Amico, and we'll play some more D'Amico coming up here in the next segment. We'll go deep on our Astros experience yesterday at the top of the hour as we are live here in West Palm Beach at our Airbnb. My prediction yesterday, would we get a better answer from D'Amico about Stephon Diggs? This was D'Amico at the Nick Caley press conference when asked about Stephon Diggs.
We won't get into specifics on free agents. Like, that's a process that'll take its time, so I won't get into specifics on different guys.
And this was D'Amico yesterday with the local media, not in his national session, when he was asked about Stephon Diggs.
We loved having Steph on our team. We'll see how things work out with him. Steph, he brought, you talk about energy, you talk about leadership, he brought a lot to our team. So it hurt us down the stretch not having Steph, not having Tank. You need those playmakers, especially at the wide receiver position. Right? It just enhances your ability to be able to move the football down the field, score points. So that is an area of emphasis for us, is looking at the wide receiver.
It's just so weird. That was one of the stranger answers that D'Amico gave back, you know, 2 weeks ago or whatever it was at the Caley press conference, because he treated him like a free agent. He's an actual free agent now.
Yeah.
And he does the gushing answer, which is what I was expecting back then. It's just a very strange answer. Like, we're not going to talk about it. I'm wondering, like, is he just doing that because he's being, like, a little bit prickly at a press conference? Or, I mean, it's the same group of media that asked the question.
I think it's probably one of those things where D'Amico wants to be sure he's not overstepping any boundaries. And Nick's side is the
is the
negotiation side of things. So D'Amico probably didn't want to speak out of turn when it came to when Stephon Diggs was still on the team.
And maybe maybe there was a chance he would have signed a contract.
Maybe there were at least a few more discussions that were let on. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I was glad that was in the local media scrum because not that I'm overly worried about this, but if the Texans want to re-sign Stephon Diggs, then there will be competition from other teams. And other teams are going to have the same concerns that a lot of people did when Stephon Diggs got to Houston. It's, okay, what about the sideline eruptions? What about the social media stuff? And that was of zero concern at any time that Stephon Diggs was here. He didn't have any issues at all. He was exemplary on the character and leadership side of things. So I don't need any positive press from D'Amico on Stephon Diggs in the national media. So nobody asked him about it in the main press conference. It was just in that scrum afterwards.
I was a little surprised nobody in the national media asked him about it, but, you know, so be it. We got a lot of stuff from D'Amico coming
up. The very first question was, how do you help a player who's injured? Which was
that was so strange.
It just felt out of place. And D'Amico gave a really good answer.
Gave a great answer.
And
some
of it was relative to Stephon Diggs. If you think about it, D'Amico talking about how, you know, getting them involved and helping the other guys and coaching them, everything. That's one of the biggest things you can do with an injured player.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you to do something. There's something you did today. Don't ever do it again.
Okay.
I walk out here. You're the early riser amongst the two of us here. You're usually up at least a good hour before I am. So I come out here at about 45 minutes before the show, and there's a laptop out on our back patio on the table with no person sitting at it.
Right.
A cup of coffee, a hot cup of coffee on the counter.
Yeah.
An open dishwasher.
And ripples in the water.
And no Seth.
Yeah.
On the heels, less than 24 hours after you and I were practically accosted by a group of iguanas.
We almost lost at least a limb and possibly our lives yesterday by iguanas.
And so I was patient. I said, Seth is probably taking the garbage out. Or I don't know. Maybe he's out on the front porch on a phone call or something. Yeah. I don't know. But man, tick tock, like 30 minutes goes by.
Yeah, the computer being on is probably
too,
the weird
the way.
Thing.
The computer's on out there. I'm like,
not to mention, the humans in Florida that might have taken
me. There's a lot of crackheads.
I could have been abducted by a meth head or something.
Yeah, some guy on bath salts ate you or something.
Yeah,
like, there's
a
meal.
No, I realized we're getting close to the show, and I wanted to be sure I got a little bit of a walk in to get my brain working.
Okay, well, just check in.
I was over at the nature trail there along that lake.
It's a nice nature trail.
I saw ducks. I saw cranes. I saw big dogs.
We have a lot of wildlife out here, man.
Yeah.
It's cool. I was just worried about you. That's all. I wanted to tell you.
Sorry, Mom. I'll be sure I wear my life alert bracelet.
I'm going to hand you my – I have one of those Apple tags. The air tags. So I'm going
to – Do you want me to add you to my Life 360? Is that – you want to be sure you can check in with me? Okay.
After today? Yes. Yes. All right. So Payne and Pendergast here. At the the animal kingdom.
God, I wish I'd had the foresight to like leave a blood trail or something, just down
then
to the water.
Then I would have got legit worried. Just fake radio worried. That would have legit worried me.
Hey Parker, take a note. I need fake blood today.
Fake blood.
We'll take that. Put it on the account.
Or ketchup.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We are live in West Palm Beach again. Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors bringing us here. More Astros baseball today. Very excited. Nationals, Astros. Framber on the mound today.
So ooh, Framber.
That'll be a whole lot of fun. All right, up next, Combine. The value of the Combine to the Texans, and D'Amico has asked, what is a meeting with the Texans like at the Combine? I thought this was good stuff from the Texans head coach yesterday.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from West Palm Beach. Thanks to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We are live in West Palm Beach. Will be out at the ballpark today. Nationals and the Astros. Framber Valdez on the mound for the Stros today. We'll go deep on what we saw yesterday with the Astros at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. We'll do that. The NFL Combine, underway. The workouts don't start until tomorrow, I believe. First position group goes tomorrow. The big one, that big position groups everyone's waiting for, the most sizzly ones, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, when it comes to the drills, those are on Saturday. But coaches were meeting with the media yesterday. Today is GM day, at least it is for the Texans. Nick Caserio will meet with the media at around 12:15 Houston time or so. D'Amico ran a little late yesterday, just got backed up. But we'll have all of that for you here on Sports Radio 610 throughout the day. D'Amico was good yesterday. Here was D'Amico Ryans when he was asked about the value of the combine to him as a head coach.
The biggest value I get from being here is just being able to sit down across from the players face to face, be able to hear their story, hear their background, their upbringing, but also just get to feel their energy and feel their passion and love for the game of football. It comes off in those 15-minute interviews, and I can feel that energy very instantly.
He feels the energy, Sean. He reads their aura. He has a sense about these things. He's like an Under Armour hippie.
Mm-hmm.
He can he'll sit there in athleisure gear, but with a dream catcher dangling above his head.
Aura.
And he'll just like, let's do some chanting and humming together.
He feels their aura, but if they themselves mention their aura, they're off the list.
That's right. Yeah, that's we don't need that.
Use the word aura. Yeah, you have to have an aura, but don't cite your aura. Deshaun.
He's one of these guys, though, because we've seen it now, that there is a certain type of D'Amico player, and he talks about that yesterday when he was on the Texans radio, the scouts and the coaches and everybody, now that they're 2 years into it, they're starting to get a feel for what D'Amico wants, what type of player he wants. They'll say, oh, that's a D'Amico Ryans guy.
Yeah,
so that's good. That's good. Organizations tend to over several years get their scouts and their coaches on the same page in terms of what they're looking for from their players. D'Amico's going to mention energy a lot, but it's not just something he read in a book once and decided to make a focus this offseason. He's all about that and the way that guys are committed to football and the way they play on the field. It's cool because we've seen the product. It's not, especially on defense, that it's not one of these things that a coach is just saying, but there's no substance to it.
Yeah, like this, the combine is their, that's their first swarm filter with these guys. You know what I mean? Like that, this is the vetting of the guys, that particularly on defense, we've talked about, wow, they've really done, and on defense it's true, and with some of the offensive guys, but not all of them, but on defense I feel like from the top of the depth chart to the bottom of the depth chart, they've done a really good job of vetting and finding guys that kind of embody what D'Amico was about as a player. And you're right, that the interview he did with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer was really good, and he literally said that. He said, some of our scouts will literally write on their scouting reports, this guy is a swarmy player.
He's a D'Amico Ryans guy.
Yeah.
And when he talks about energy, I've told you guys before that one of the books that he has in his office is The Energy Bus by John Gordon, and I read that book a couple times. That, I'm not bragging. It's a very short book, and it's basically a bunch of parables more so than anything else. But it's crazy. Like, if I were an agent and I had a player that I wanted to go to the Texans, or that player wanted to go to the Texans, I would have them read that book. Because tell me if this sounds like D'Amico, the main themes in that book.
Okay.
Positive energy.
Yes.
Building positive relationships.
Absolutely.
Purpose and meaning.
Yeah, no question.
D'Amico said, like, what is your why 3 times yesterday.
Yeah.
Enthusiasm and passion.
No doubt.
And serving others.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you want to, if you're a young kid out there that wants to go play for the Texans, read that book and then basically parrot it in your meeting with D'Amico Ryans.
Not annoyingly, though.
Yeah.
Don't say, like, so as I read in The Energy Bus.
Have you ever heard of it, Coach Ryans? Yeah.
Oh, it's your favorite book. I didn't know.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't
know.
And then if I were D'Amico, I'd give him a red X. I'm like, well, you should have known. I'm D'Amico Ryans. What's a meeting with the Texans like at the combine?
Yeah, a meeting with the Texans here at the combine, we hope it comes off as very loose. We want to make sure we're not trying to grill guys too much. I want to make them at ease, because I remember being here at the combine where I had some of those meetings where they were very tense. And so I just want to make sure guys are at ease and they're comfortable, and we just get to know the person. That's the main thing. We get a chance to watch as much tape as we can on these guys, but to really just sit down, helmet off, and like, let's know your background. Let's know why do you love the game of football, and what's your why? Those are the things that we ask our guys, and you know, we have get a lot of insightful comments from guys from asking those questions.
Yeah, I think keeping it loose is that, I like hearing that, just because I've always hated the way some teams operate with their combine interviews. It's that if you make it formal or if you make it intense, there's certain guys who might be awesome football players and awesome dudes who just don't do well in that environment. So you just don't really get to know them, and it can end up being a strike against them. Or as a coach or as a personnel evaluator, you're not actually getting any useful information. You're just learning that, like, okay, if this guy ever applies to medical school, it might be tough for him in the interview process.
Yeah, but
it has nothing to do with actually who the guy is or how or football itself.
Yeah, how much he loves football.
You know? It does make me wonder, though, too, because, you know, Lance told that story. Lance Erline told the story about how there might have been some combativeness between CJ and Bobby Slowick at their meeting. And I just, if it is a laid-back environment, I wonder how that actually happened or what it looked like.
Yeah.
Like, it does, did he see D'Amico and CJ, or did he see D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick, and they were both like, hey, how you doing, fella?
Yeah.
And CJ said, what the hell do you mean?
I wonder,
like,
where
does this aggression come from?
It might have been on the 30 visit, too, where it could have happened.
Yeah.
Where they had a little bit longer to spend with each other.
Yeah.
So, but either way, was it the same format when you were at the combine? Was it 15-minute interviews?
Yeah.
How many teams did you meet
with? I can't even remember. Not that many, because I was like a late addition to the combine, so like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And
were most of your meetings like the ones D'Amico describes the Texans being, or were more of your meetings?
They were all different.
All
there
over
was
the place.
One where I met with a position coach, and it was very much like what D'Amico was saying. There's another where you're meeting with a scout, and there, it was almost like the guy was just reading from a questionnaire.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too much into my own combine story, but because I was a late addition, and there were a few teams that apparently liked me a lot, so like they requested me to be there. So those teams wanted to talk to me.
Yeah.
But there were things were way different back then.
Yeah.
There were a lot of teams that didn't know a single thing about me and didn't care to look.
Yeah.
So it was weird. I was a small school guy, and I felt kind of out of place because all these other guys are complaining about how many meetings they're going to all night long and everything. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, me too. I'm totally exhausted. Yeah.
Meanwhile, you're calling your family and you're like, I got 5 interviews tomorrow.
I don't think I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah. It's funny.
I was like Steve Carell acting like that. I knew what boobs felt like in 40-year-old
virgin. 40-year-old virgin. That's great. D'Amico Ryans, getting kind of specific on draft picks. This is at the very end of his media session. I found this one interesting. He talks about what the expectations are for guys based on where they're drafted.
Players come in all different types and sizes, man. But I think when you look at a guy, you're taking a guy in that first round, you're looking at guys who you're leaning on being, you know, day one starters for you. And, you know, second round on through, you're looking for guys who can possibly upgrade the roster to eventually become starters. But, you know, you want to see a guy and what he's done in college, how many snaps he's played, how effective has he been with the reps that he's been given.
So that's especially with the 25th pick, you know, that you're flirting with round 2 there, and you're somewhere in the gray area.
Yeah.
But it does seem like, especially maybe since the Kenyon Green experiment continues to not look so hot, if that's something they've started to emphasize more in the last couple of years, is we want guys who are pro ready.
That's a quote that probably gets more interesting the day after the day one of the draft.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when, because if they draft an interior offensive line, a lot of these guys who've been playing interior offensive line are still going to be here.
Yeah.
But based on that quote right there, like if they draft Tyler Booker with the 25th overall pick, mm-hmm. based on that quote right there, my expectation is he's starting in – D'Amico Ryans expects him to start in week one for them.
Yeah.
He expects whoever they draft with that 25th overall pick to come in and take – whatever job is open by the throat.
Yeah.
Whether it's Emeka Ogbuka getting drafted to be the wide receiver opposite Nico Collins, or at least be in that rotation of the top 3 wide receivers, or more specifically, because which receiver's an interesting one, because you can get X amount on the field. You can get 2 on the field, you get 3. Starter is a bit of a nebulous
term. But a guy
that
contributes and plays a lot.
Contributes and plays, but right guard or left guard, you're a starter.
It's a
those guys play
position, right?
They play 100% of the snaps.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I wonder with Ibuka might be one of those guys that if they're going to take him in the first round, they like a guy like Ibuka because he's probably a little bit more pro-ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ceiling might not be as high as some of the other guys, but they might feel more comfortable that it's not as much of a projection. But you also can't be married to that, too. I mean, if a guy gets into camp and it's clear that he's not as far along as you thought he was, or he's not responding well. You can't just plug him in there. I'm still a little upset that they penciled Kenyon Green put him in pen on the depth chart as the starter all through training camp last year, when I felt like it really should have been a competitive situation, and it wasn't at all. But it's hard with the offensive line because you want him to get those reps and get the cohesion and the work with the center and the quarterback and all that.
Yeah. Based on what D'Amico just said there about day two guys, which would be second round and third round, since D'Amico got in the building there, he said guys that contribute with the expectation they become a starter.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing. But they drafted Juice Scruggs in the second round, Tank Dell in the third round, D'Amico's first draft with Nick. And then last year, they drafted Kamari Lassiter and Blake Fisher in the second round and Kalen Bullock in the third. Those five guys, I mean, and Tank's injury is what it is. Like, that's, you know, you can't control that. When Tank was on the field, he was 100% worth the 69th pick in the draft or whatever he was.
Yeah.
You know? So, Juice Scruggs is a work in progress still, as is Blake Fisher. Any offensive lineman that's a young offensive lineman, I need to wait and see how they do in this next chapter of offense. But the other guys, Kamari Lassiter, high-end starter who I think has Pro Bowl potential. Kalen Bullock, I'd say the same thing at safety. And then, you know, Tank obviously is a wild card because he's injured right now. But they've done a decent job of getting guys, I think, that fit that D'Amico description these first couple years he's been collaborating with Nick.
Well, Kamari Lassiter last year, it was the 42nd pick overall, relatively early in the second round. And he was a guy that they felt, I think, through their evaluation process, but definitely when he stepped in the building, that he was ready to play.
Yeah.
And I wonder if, you know, with Kamari, if they had either they had a first round type of grade on him, perhaps because they felt like he was ready to play.
He got the Kenyon Green treatment.
Yeah.
He was,
yeah. Remember, yeah, he, I mean, was right away.
He was a starter right away. Yeah.
Now, Kenyon, to be clear, Kenyon wasn't a rookie last year, but he got that as a rookie. Kamari Lassiter got that treatment right away.
Yeah. One more from D'Amico. This is D'Amico on working with Nick Caserio these last few years on the draft.
Year three for myself and Nick working together, and it's been seamless. Like, it's easy because we see football the same. We know the type of players that we want on our team. We know that mindset that we're looking for in players. It's guys who have that relentless mindset, guys who love football. Those guys jump out to us, right? Guys who are leaders, that jumps out to us. Those characteristics that they don't lose those when they come into the NFL. If guys were leaders at college, guys play with a certain play style and a demeanor in college, that's going to carry over to the NFL. So those are the type of players we look for, and we want good people. And that's the thing that me and Nick agree on the most. You want to win, but you want to win with great people. And we both believe that you can do that, and we've shown that by some of the guys we drafted in CJ, Will, Kamari, Henry, Toto. It's just a lot of great people, and it's fun when you're working with great people who are talented and they're like-minded, and we're all reaching that same goal.
It's one thing that used to bother me a lot with when Rick Smith was the GM, and I'm not trying to just bag on Rick Smith. There was just one element of one thing that Rick Smith operated was sometimes the guys in the mid rounds, it felt like every year there was a guy taken in the third round who was a really good football player, had a whole lot of physical potential, but his one flaw was, we're not sure if this guy actually even likes football.
Yeah.
Eventually, one would go off to be wrestling in WWE. Lewis Nix was a guy that I was never sure he was 100% all that committed
Sam
to football.
Sam Montgomery,
right.
Part of the KC
three. Yeah, and I think the one thing they've done well in the
Braxton Miller.
Yeah, oh.
He loved him some Braxton Miller.
Braxton
now.
Miller, yeah. Yeah. Remember the knock on Braxton Miller? They took him off the board up in New England because they felt like he cared way too much about
Hollywood,
the football lifestyle than football itself. Yeah. Whereas what they've done with the mid rounds with D'Amico and CJ together, I think they've done a really good job of getting guys who are just kind of gritty football players. You go back to last year, like Blake Fisher, Kalen Bullock, Cade Stover. Those are your guys in your second through fourth rounds. Those guys all feel like the right kinds of guys.
Yeah.
If you go through the second through fourth round, fifth round picks from a couple years ago, you know, Juice Scruggs. I like Juice Scruggs, and I think he plays the right way. You know, we still have to see what his actual potential is as a player. But then Tank Dell and Dylan Horton and Henry Toa.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, one of those guys, what did he do? Oh, he just beat stage four cancer.
Stage
that's
four.
All. Yeah, that's all.
Stage
yeah.
four. Yeah.
That's swarmy. That's very swarmy.
I would say if there's one thing D'Amico said that maybe there's a disconnect with some fans, Not me. I'm with him. I like it's way more fun to win when you actually like the guys that you're winning with.
Yeah.
I do think there's probably some fans out there like, I don't really care how good a person they are if they're really good at football.
Yeah, but he's not. It's not like he's saying I want somebody that was, you know, a teacher's pet in college or anything. He wants guys that are really he thinks that having a passion for football and then having a bunch of those guys on your team go hand in hand with actual success. It's not, as Nick had said, you don't need all choir boys, but you want guys who have like good football personalities.
Yeah. Yep. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday here. We will circle back to the Astros at the top of the hour. We're here in West Palm Beach. Thanks to Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors. We thank them for bringing us here. We'll talk about the Astros and headlines coming up next. We'll hear more from D'Amico Ryans. Rockets win last night. One of the ugliest close game wins that you're ever going to see. But a win's a win, right? With the Rockets, and they got the Spurs sans Wemby tonight on the docket. So we'll get into all that in headlines coming up.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to it. Headlines. Astros yesterday, they beat the New York Mets 8-5 in a sprint training game. The hated Mets.
I was talking so much smack. I was actually ahead
to of Mets fans.
Nah, I couldn't. There was that's one of the nice things about spring training.
There were a lot of Mets fans.
Yeah, well, there's always a lot of opposing fans because you know easy to travel 10 minutes down
Florida,
the road.
Yeah,
yeah. But go ahead, Sean. Finish your recap.
Yeah, no problem. The Astros win yesterday 8-5. Cam Smith, 2 home runs. That was the big story. Here's Joe Espada following the game yesterday on what he's seen out of Cam Smith.
It doesn't look like he's the first spring training camp, you know, and he's walking into an organization that has had a lot of success, and he feels like he can be part of this, and he can be part of our success, and he's excited to be in here. You just see how he goes about his work every day. He's I've been very impressed. So I know he's early in camp, but that's what you're looking for in young players that have the ability to do special things. Come in, you know, swinging the bat, and that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, two bombs. That's what I look for in my young players.
It honestly feels, in the way that the organization has been talking about him, it feels a little bit like the Texans talked about Kamari Lassiter last year, where they say things they wouldn't typically say about a rookie. Because a lot of times, even if they're impressed by a rookie, they don't want to get ahead of themselves. They don't want the rookie himself to get a bloated head. But everybody, including people up in Chicago, have really gushed about Cam Smith as a prospect. And remember, he was in college this time last year.
Yes.
I mean, he's young. He just turned 22 on Sunday. And that was a very good debut. It's just spring training. You take everything with a grain of salt. But, man, Sean, this could end up being, if the Cubs don't do something with Kyle Tucker,
or have
a really good season this year because they got Kyle Tucker for 1 year,
yeah,
and Cam Smith ends up developing into just whatever type of player he could be, that might go down as one of the worst Chicago trades in history.
Yeah, man.
I mean, this is already turned from like, well, okay, I guess you got Espada and you got Wisniewski and you got a prospect. That's what that trade was at first. Now it feels more like the Cam Smith trade than the Paredes. Paredes is what I meant, obviously.
Yeah. No, I thought that when the trade got made, I said if Cam Smith turns into a player, this thing is going to be a steal. And you sent me a tweet yesterday, and I've seen people position it this way before, but I guess Dana Brown on the broadcast yesterday, the way he framed the trade, and it's a good way to look at it, is they looked at it like they were – because they weren't going to re-sign Tucker. So they looked at it, they being the Astros, looked at it as we traded one controllable year of Kyle Tucker for a cumulative total of 13 team-controlled years for Paredes, Wisniewski, and Cam Smith.
Yeah.
That's a great way to look at it, man. And
don't look at it too hard, though, because then you're tempted to be like, well, we'll keep Cam Smith in the minors for 4 years.
Yeah.
And then it'll be even better.
Well, I think the key with that trade, though, is these are all, like, all three of those guys are assets that you feel can be anywhere from contributors to super high-level contributors at some point. It'd be one thing if you're trading for some minor league. We got 6 years of team control on, Joe McBleepface, what I mean? But this is Cam Smith. He was their best prospect.
Yeah.
You know, and Paredes is an all-star. And Wisniewski, we'll talk more about him at the top of the hour. He had some good and some bad yesterday, but I'm confident. Look, they're looking for him to be the fifth starter. They're not looking for him to be Hunter Brown or anything.
Yeah, I was really happy with Wisniewski other than the solo home run. And that's obviously grain of salt with all of this, good or bad.
Yeah.
The one grain of salt that's hard to just say is a grain of salt is the fact that Jake Myers and Chaz McCormick looked awful at the plate yesterday.
Yeah. We'll get into those guys top of the hour. We'll overreact to everything we saw yesterday because it's fun to overreact at spring training. Texans at the Combine. D'Amico Ryans met with the media yesterday. Nick Caserio will meet with the media today. 12:15 Houston time is what Nick is scheduled for today. Here was D'Amico yesterday on the biggest value he sees in the combine.
The biggest value I get from being here is just being able to sit down across from the players face to face, be able to hear their story, hear their background, their upbringing, but also just get to feel their energy and feel their passion and love for the game of football. It comes off in those 15-minute interviews, and I can feel that energy very instantly.
Yeah, that part of it, the energy, obviously, but I think the passion for the game of football, that's what's really started to show on the defensive side of the ball, is that you can just tell when you've got guys out there who really just care about playing football that aren't, there's only, like, there's only so much suffering you're willing to endure for money. There's got to be something else driving you. Yep. In general, there's some incredibly motivated people can do it all for money and be very successful. But on the sum total of things, it's hard to have a group of guys that are willing to embrace the suck for money. There's got to be something else driving them, and I think they've done a great job of that on defense. On offense, it's a work in progress. I think they've got a few guys, but it's a work in progress.
I wonder, you know, it's, you know, the 25th pick. It's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
But you know, the way they brought in CJ a couple years ago to kind of recalibrate, you know, the vibe on the offensive side, you know, the overall leadership position, the way they I think a big reason they traded up to get Will Anderson was he's going to be that guy,
yeah,
for the future on the defensive side. You know, like the guy, like I almost feel like Will Anderson is part of the vetting process for all these guys defensively that come through these interviews. You know what I mean? Like, can you match the energy? Will, what do you know about this guy? I do wonder, like, on the offensive line, like Tyler Booker from Alabama.
Yeah.
Like, if he's a guy they feel like they bring in and it changes. Tougher to do when you got veterans in the room already, like Tunsil and Titus that have been around for a while, but do they view him or anybody in that offensive line room as a guy who can kind of reset the energy in that room,
yeah, well,
moving forward?
If you look at Will is who he is, but they also have veterans and have tried to get veterans in that defensive line meeting room who are also that same swarm mentality.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. And I don't think any of us are convinced that Titus Howard and Laremy Tunsil are the epitome of swarm.
No. Yeah. Definitely not.
I think that I'm not as critical of the play as some people are of those two guys, but in terms of the swarm mentality, I'm very skeptical.
Very much so. We'll have more D'Amico Ryans a little later on in the show. Rockets last night, they beat the Milwaukee Bucks 100-97. Here's what it sounded like at the very end.
3.7 to go, Rockets by three. He wins it to Lillard. Lillard for the tie!
Oh, my God.
And the Rockets survive and win! So many big shots that Damian Lillard has hit in his career in those situations, seemingly over and over and over again against the Rockets, especially when he was with the Portland Trailblazers. But he missed there, and the Rockets eke out the win, 100-97.
This is what people need to know about this game, and if you watched it, you know already. The game was 85-85 at the end of the third quarter. The final score was 100-97. They were halfway through the fourth quarter of this game, and there had been a total of 7 points scored, and they were all scored by the Rockets. They're up 92-85 with about 6 minutes to go in the game. This was a hideous, hideous fourth quarter, and the Rockets at the tail end of this game did everything they could do to give away the game at the end. They were up 98-95, got a turnover, and for whatever reason, instead of just dribbling around to try to get fouled, Alperen Şengün throws like a behind-the-head pass to, I think, Dylan Brooks or somebody who's not expecting it. They're like, what are we doing? They turn the ball over. That shot you heard at the end of the game by Damian Lillard came about. Lillard shooting free throws down three, and there's a double lane violation with 3.7 seconds to go.
Yeah.
So on a double lane violation, you go back out and you have a jump ball at midcourt. So there's a jump ball. So all that has to happen is for the Rockets to either tap it to win the jump ball or just defend and just not let a guy get off a shot. The Bucks win the jump ball. Lillard gets the ball and ball fakes. I forget who went flying past him. He got a clean look at that three.
Yeah.
To tie the game. The Rockets did everything they could do to give that game away. You know, at the end.
I knew he would get his come up in someday, Sean.
Yeah,
ever
Lillard.
Since the playoffs ended in 2014 with 0.9 seconds left on
I
the clock.
I forgot about that.
And Damian Lillard. Oh, it's emblazoned in my brain. I've got a 0.9 tattoo on my butt to remind me of the pain of that.
Dude.
So, this regular season game in February, that's vengeance for them.
It was frustrating to watch, though, man. I'm like, man, just put these guys away. Like,
this is what I'd say. All right. Sometimes you get scrappy Rockets. Sometimes you get good basketball Rockets. Rarely do you get the both of them at the same time.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen scrappy Rockets consistently in a long time.
Well, Amen Thompson.
So I'll take scrappy. That was scrappy what Amen Thompson did.
It was stupid what he did.
It was dumb
it was
scrappy.
Stupid scrappy. Yeah. Like, for those who
you don't
it,
know, he tried to decapitate
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
Like, he was – it was a hard foul. Antetokounmpo was going up for a dunk, and it required a hard foul to put – you want to put him on the line. But for whatever reason, Amen Thompson felt like he should bring both arms down with force on Antetokounmpo's head.
He did a little bit of
really. Was it
Terminator? No, it was what was the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
It was kindergarten cop.
No, the one where he broke the guy's neck on the airplane just by like reaching over and turning it to the side real quickly.
I saw Mel Gibson do that in Lethal Weapon 2.
It used to be a big move in the 80s.
Yeah.
I don't think it's I don't think you can actually do it. It was a big move. In action movies in the 80s, there were a lot of times people would break somebody's neck just by twisting it to the side real quick.
Yeah.
And it made me just terrified of it. My entire youth, I was scared of quicksand and somebody yanking my head
too
quickly.
You were scared of quicksand too, huh?
That was a big theme
back
then.
Yeah, me too.
It's not a theme in movies as much as it used to be.
Me too.
And cartoons.
Yeah.
Back when cartoons they weren't scared to scare you of death. Yeah.
Yeah, ask Wile E. Coyote.
Mm-hmm.
That guy died 7 times every episode. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Those are your headlines for today. We head into the 7 o'clock hour. Up next, let's overreact to some of the things that we saw yesterday. Astros and Mets, in all honesty, there were a few things to get very excited about. There's definitely some early concerns. We'll see what happens today. Maybe some of them get soothed. But the big one is, man, we may have a power merchant on our hands here with Cam Smith. So we will get to that and a whole lot more that Seth and I saw out at the yard yesterday.